All right, thank you. Preacher, the book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 1. And man, I enjoyed that good music tonight. Amen. And enjoyed that good message. Praise the Lord, brother. Hill, that is awesome. Hey, praise God, that's great. And I believe he believed what he preached. Amen. And he was excited about it. Amen. I like that. I like to hear a fellow preach like he's got a swarm of bees up his coattail. Amen. That's good. And I appreciate you being here tonight. Good to see some new faces. And good to see some of our old friends. And old Bob, I didn't mean you when I said old friends. But we love them. And good to see you. Good to see Dr. Moxley here. If you don't have his book on the tabernacle, that's a classic. And we're glad that he's here tonight. Good to see Brother Wells. And appreciate him. Been knowing him a long time. Great preacher of the gospel. And I appreciate Brother Rabin riding over with me from the airport. He kept me here and enjoyed the evening. And I'll do like that one preacher. He preached one Sunday morning for 4.5 hours. He preached on the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament prophets, the tribulation prophets, the false prophets. And about 4.5 hours, he said, "Oh my, I forgot about Isaiah. What am I going to do with him?" An old man stood up in the back and said, "Bless God, he ain't got my seat. I'm going home, man." But we'll be brief tonight, but God is good. And I love this pastor. I'll tell you, he's a man of God. Charles Ray. I call him the Ray Charles of fundamentalism, amen. But I'm telling you, what a preacher he is. I heard him preach in 1994 on a Thursday morning in Taylorsville, North Carolina, and he preached on Christ, our anchor. And it's the best message I've ever heard on that subject. And I've preached it all over the country. I've got a lot of money off of that. I really have. No, I'm just kidding. But it was a great message, and I'm glad to be here tonight. If you're saved, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you don't know your right from your left, just say, "Praise the Lord." There are some Duke fans here. I heard you. God bless. Woo! Now, I got to tell you what happened in the basketball thing. I know it ain't got nothing to do with the Bible, but we'll get serious here in a minute. My daughter's boss, she graduates from law school in about 3 weeks. And her boss was a graduate of Duke. Top of his class in law school. Well, the law school she goes to is a little unknown school in South Georgia named Mercer. Mercer University. They're the ones that beat Duke. And so she almost lost her job. But she didn't even pull for her own school. Messed her bracket up. And I said, "God's not in brackets, he's in the Bible." And I get right with God, amen. But if you love the Lord tonight, say amen. Amen. The book of Exodus tonight, chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 5. Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 5. "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all of his brethren." And say this last phrase out loud with me. "And all that generation." Say that again. "And all that generation." What generation was that? The generation that knew Joseph. The generation that knew Joseph by fame. The generation that knew Joseph by name. The generation that was very familiar at the work that God did through the life of Joseph. The Bible said, "In that generation died." Notice what happens now in verse number 8. "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt." And say this last phrase out loud with me. "Which knew not Joseph." Say that with me again. "Which knew not Joseph." "And the Lord being our helper." I want to preach tonight for a while on the tragedy of not knowing Joseph. I believe you agree with me tonight. Joseph, what a man. Amen. Joseph, what a life. And Joseph, what a legacy. Amen. A man that went from mighty fame to misfortune and back to mighty fame again. because he lived under the presence and the blessing of Almighty God. God greatly used this man by the name of Joseph. I believe if a man was on the scene today that was used of God like Joseph was in that day, we would say about that man, he's a man. I mean, if that was a man on the scene today used of God like Joseph was in that day, there would be songs about Joseph. There would be books written about Joseph. People would travel all over the world and give lectures on how wonderful Joseph is. That'd be Joseph t-shirts. That'd be Joseph bracelets. What would Joseph do? That would be chariot bumper stickers on all the chariots. Joseph the man. Joseph, what a name. Joseph, what a life. And Joseph, what a legacy. God used this man by the name of Joseph to literally save an entire nation. Tonight, there would be no Egypt were not for Joseph. Because of the anointing and blessing of God that was upon his life, God literally used this man to save an entire nation from starvation and extinction. God not only used Joseph to save the nation of Egypt, but God even used Joseph to preserve that physical seed one day that would bring Messiah, the Christ child, Jesus, our Savior, into this world. How he was used of God in a mighty way. But yet our text says tonight that the very nation, Egypt, that owed their existence to this man by the name of Joseph, all of a sudden found itself one day being ruled by leaders who did not even know who Joseph was. And let me say tonight, not to know Joseph is not to know one of the greatest stories that's ever been told. Not to know Joseph is not to know one of the greatest lives that's ever been lived. Not to know Joseph is not to know one of the greatest heritage and legacies that has ever been left. And of all the people that ought to know who Joseph is, it ought to be Egypt and its leaders because they owe their existence to Joseph. We know the Bible teaches us that Israel's sojourned in Egypt for 430 years. We know that Joseph was 30 years old when he went to the throne and lived to be 120. And you pull all that together, this is what you got. From the time that Joseph died to the new king comes on the scene who doesn't know Joseph is a period of approximately 350 years. And in 350 years, a nation that owed their very existence to Joseph, in 350 years, they went from knowing all about Joseph to some about Joseph to a little about Joseph to nothing about Joseph. They say a generation is between 40 to 45 years. You do the math. In less than 8.5 generations. In less than 8.5 generations. The nation that owed their very survival to Joseph. In 8.5 generations, they went from knowing all about Joseph to some about Joseph to a little about Joseph to nothing about Joseph. You say, well, preacher, what is so bad about not knowing Joseph? Why, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was greatly loved of his father. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that his father exalted high above all of his other sons. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that his father loved him so much he gave him a coat of many colors. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that in him dwelt the fullness of Jacob's family. Why not to know Joseph That's not to know the one that even though he was loved by his father, he was despised and rejected by his brethren. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was sold into the hand of the enemy by his family for the price of silver. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that suffered humiliation for the sins and faults and the crimes of another. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was placed in a pit of suffering and was left to suffer all alone. Why not to know Joseph? That's not to know the one that even though everybody else forgot about him, God never did. For whether Joseph was in the pit, Potiphar's prison, or the palace, it said, and the Lord was with Joseph. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was lifted out of the pit of suffering and went to the throne on the other side of the pit. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that the very ones that despised him and rejected him had to bow down before him and confess with their mouth publicly, Joseph lives and Joseph is Lord and Joseph is loaded. For not to know Joseph, it's not to know the one that had bread when nobody else had bread. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that if you got any bread, you had to bow down to him to get it because he's the only one that had it. For not to know Joseph is not to know the one that all of his predictions and promises and prophecies were fulfilled to the minute detail. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that it could be said he kept much people alive. Why not to know Joseph? That's not to know the one that took a Gentile bride when he got to the throne. I mean by that, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that brought a bunch of people into something they didn't have no business being brought into, and the only reason why they got brought into it, they knew who Joseph was. Why not to know Joseph? It's not to know the one that built a place in the palace for him and his bride to live in as long as Joseph lived. And not to know Joseph, it's not to know the one that sent a message to the other family members, come unto me where I am, there you may be also. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that sent a message to the family. The mansion is built, the table is spread, the door is open, the throne is occupied, and he built a place in the kingdom for the whole family to dwell in peace and blessing and harmony as long as Joseph lives. Boy, I believe they would say in that day, I'm glad I know who Joseph is. You say, what has that got to do with us? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. You say, brother, how in the world can you put Jesus and Joseph in the same setting? I'm glad you brought that up. Brother Joe, don't you realize the Hebrew name Joseph has a twofold meaning, and that first meaning means God, Jehovah, has taken away my reproach. Amen. Exactly. Because ever since I met Jesus, my heavenly Joseph, he has taken away my reproach. Amen. You say, now wait a minute, that second meaning of the name Joseph means Jehovah shall bless or God shall add. Yeah, boy. Because ever since I met Jesus, my heavenly Joseph, he sure has blessed and added to me. They would have no future were not for Joseph. They would have no heritage were not for Joseph. They would have no bread because of Joseph. I believe they were glad they knew who Joseph was. And I'm glad to declare to you on this Monday night, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. You say, what's so big about not knowing Jesus? Well, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was greatly loved of his heavenly Father. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all three of the Trinity showed up at one time when he was baptized. God the Son being baptized by the baptizer, God the Holy Spirit on the wings of a dove, and God the Father thundering from the glory world with a voice that shook the foundations of the earth. Amen. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that his Father exalted high above all of his other sons. For Adam was the son of God, and Noah was the son of God, and Abraham was the son of God, and I'm a son of God. But he only had one only begotten son, and Jesus is his name. Did you say, preacher, did he give him a coat of many colors? It's better than that. Jesus said, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Hey, Jesus, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Oh, not to know Jesus. It's not to know the one that even though he was loved by his father, he was rejected by his brother. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the subject of John 1:11, and he came into his own, and his own received him not. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was despised and rejected and suffered humiliation and crucifixion for the sins and faults and the crimes of another. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was sold into the hand of the enemy and betrayed into the hand of the enemy for the price of silver. Joseph was sold for 20. Jesus was sold for 30. You see, a male slave in his prime in that day was worth 20 pieces, but a female slave in her prime was worth 30. All you women right now ought to turn to your old man and say, I'm worth more than you. You say, but Brother Joe, I don't understand that. Joseph being a man sold for 20, yet Jesus a man sold for 30. The price of a female, why is that? Because when Jesus was being sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was buying himself a bride. For when Jesus was on this earth, the foxes had holes and the birds had nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. He barred a womb to be born from, barred a bed to sleep at, barred a table to eat at, barred a donkey to ride, barred a boat to preach from, barred a cross to die on, barred a tomb to lay in. The only thing Jesus bought and paid for was your soul and my soul when he bought us at bloody cost. Boy, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Why? Not to know Jesus is not to know the one that even though he was humiliated and crucified, he was lifted out of the pit of suffering and up from the grave he arose with the mighty power of his foe, and Jesus lives today. And not to know Jesus, it's not to know the subject of Psalm 8. That God would not leave his soul in hell or suffer his Holy One to see corruption. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all of his plans, promises, prophecies, predictions have been, are being, and will be fulfilled of a minute detail. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all of his dreams came true, and he can make yours do the same. Well, glory. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that went to the throne on the other side of the cross. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that the very ones that despised him and rejected him will bow down before him and lift their voice and say, Jesus lives, Jesus loves, Jesus Lord, and he is loaded. Because not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's got bread when nobody else has got bread. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that if you get into, you have to bow down to him to get it. Because he's the only one that's got it. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that took a Gentile bride when he got to the throne. Let me say it like this. Not to know Jesus is not to know the one that brought a bunch of people into something they didn't have no business being brought into. And the only reason why they got brought into it, they knew who Jesus was. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's about to send a summons and a message to the other family members Come unto me, where I am, there you may be also. Not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's about to send a message. Come where I'm at. The mansion's built. The throne is occupied. The table is spread. And the door is open. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's built a place in the palace for his bride and all of his family to live together in forever and forever and forever, as long as Jesus lives. Someone said, how long are we saved? As long as Jesus lived. And the last time I read my Bible, that's a long time. I know they said it about Cinderella. And I know they said it about Snow White. And I know they said it about Sleepy and the Beauty, whoever that is. But oh, I'm glad that that's just a fairy tale. For nobody on this side of the river lives happily ever after. But when you see Joe and Jesus strolling down Glory Hallelujah Street, and our gospel chariot bought and paid for by the blood of God's Son, written in blood on the back side of the chariot, says Joe and Jesus, and they live happily ever after. Because I'm glad I know who, I'm about to enjoy my own preaching right there. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. There would be no Egypt were not for Joseph. And there would be no church. There would be no family of God. There would be no salvation without Jesus. But I know he came and he lived and he died and he bled and he rose again and he ascended and he sent the Spirit of God and he wrote the Bible and he saves and he draws and he redeems and he justifies and saves and seals and satisfies. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And God forbid that we ever live in a nation that owes their very existence to Jesus. Go from knowing all about Jesus to some about Jesus to a little about Jesus to nothing about Jesus. I believe you'd have to agree with me tonight. Jesus, what a name. Jesus, what a life. Jesus, what a legacy. I believe you have to agree with me tonight. Jesus, wow, he the man. That's what the Bible said he was. One mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is not a way, some way, one of the many different ways. He is the way and the truth and the life. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. May we never live in a society ruled and legislated by men who have went from knowing all about Jesus to some about Jesus to a little about Jesus to nothing about Jesus. You know where I believe we are tonight in our country? We're on the threshold of making that final step. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe there ought to be songs about Jesus. I believe there ought to be books about Jesus. I believe people ought to travel all over the world and give lectures on how wonderful Jesus is. His name ought to be on every lip. His praise ought to be on every heart. His shout ought to be in every soul. We will not have bread. We're not for Jesus. We will not have salvation. We're not for Jesus. We will not have a home in heaven. We're not for Jesus. He saved our soul. He changed our life. He emancipated us from our sin. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Notice in our text tonight quickly what happened. When verse number 8 comes, notice what happens to Joseph's family when they find themselves ruled and legislated by leaders and men who do not know who Joseph is. What did they do to his family? They enslaved them. They persecuted them. They put them in bondage because they didn't know Joseph. They did not know them. And because they did not recognize Joseph, they did not recognize them. And because they did not love Joseph, they did not love them. For if he would have known Joseph, he would have loved his family because his DNA ran deeply through them. You say, what has that got to do with us? The church of Jesus Christ, it's finding itself once again in the crosshairs of persecution and the butt end of every joke and being lampooned and scoffed. And you got to realize something. It's not us they despise. It's not us they reject. It's not us they hate. They do not know Jesus, and therefore they do not know us. Because you can't love Jesus and not love his children. Because his DNA runs deeply through them. Boy, when that new king arose who knew not Joseph, you know what he did to his family? He took their houses. He took their land. He took their freedoms. He took their liberties. He put them under their thumb. And for 400 years, they were like slaves in the brick pits because they were ruled by men who did not know Joseph. America better wake up tonight, and the church better wake up tonight. We're on the threshold of losing our freedom and losing our liberty and losing our heritage, what our forefathers bled and died for. And the problem is, we're ruled in our society by men who do not know who Jesus is. And by the way, don't take it personal. The name of Jesus has always been a dividing name. They told those early apostles, you can preach, you can deliver, you can work miracles, you can heal, you can go about a religious activity, just don't do it. And they wouldn't even say it. They wouldn't even say it. Just don't do it in that name. Simon Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, stood up and said, read my lips. If I don't do it in that name, I shall not do it. For there is no other name under heaven given among men. Woo! Whereby you must be saved. You say, preacher, that name Jesus, Jesus, that makes me nervous. Wonderful. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You say, oh, that makes me nervous. It does the devil to identify yourself. Jesus, Jesus. But those of us who know him and those of us who love him, that name does not offend us. We love the name of Jesus. We cherish the name of Jesus. We say the name of Jesus. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. They were ignorant to the story of Joseph, and they were insensitive to the family of Joseph. They hated them. They enslaved them. They persecuted them because they did not know who Joseph was. It gets dangerous on Joseph's family. It gets dangerous on Jesus' children when we live in a world legislated by people who do not know who Jesus is. Let me say this tonight. No wonder when Moses came on the scene. No wonder by the time Moses came on the scene, Egypt was worshiping idols. Because when you don't know Joseph, you might make a god out of most anything. No wonder when Moses came on the scene, they were worshiping the creature and the creation and not the creator. Because when you don't know who Joseph is, you don't know who Joseph's God is. And when you know who God is, you'll make a god out of most anything. Brother, when you're living in a society legislated and ruled by people who do not know who Joseph is, you'll get in more trouble shooting spotted owls and killing striped lizards than you will children in the wombs of their mother. Yeah. Moses comes on the scene in Egypt. I've often read in secular history that Egyptians in Egypt was known for their great knowledge. I don't think they're all that smart. You want to see how dumb some people are? Look at who they make a god out of. You got to be pretty stupid to worship a tree. You got to be pretty challenged to worship a frog, a cow, a river. And by the way, those plagues that God wrought in the land of Egypt were just not freaks of nature. It was a direct insult to one of them gods they've been worshiping. God said, okay, I'll make a deal. You want to worship the creature and the creepy crawlies? I'll give you a head full of lice and a bed full of frogs. Help yourself. God said, you want to worship the sun? I'll smut it out. God said, you want to worship the water? I'll turn it to blood. God said, whatever you worshiping, I'm going to prove to you that that's not real. I'm holy. I'm Jehovah. I'm eternal. I'm telling you tonight, we live in a society that is so ignorant of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're worshiping the creatures. They're worshiping the creation. But hear me tonight. I don't worship the creature. I don't worship the creation. I worship the Creator, the mighty God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The other day, me and my wife were riding around and just kind of unwinding, and had our convertible and had the top down and had my hair flowing in the wind. Okay, I had the bumps where the hair used to be, waving at the wind. My wife is totally opposite of me. I'm country redneck, uncultured country. You name it, and she's like, Miss. Boy, she's always been pretty level and even-tempered, but we was riding around that night. She said, did you see that sign? And for her to get that excited, I wanted to see that sign. Boy, I turned around. I said, what sign? She said, the sign that's on that church. And I've never even, you know, known to get too excited about church. I said, man, let's go see what that is. That was a church in our area that had it on their sign. Join us this Sunday for Bless the Animal Day. And that church partnered with thousands of churches all over America to pick a particular Sunday where they would bring their animals to church and bring them down to the altar and let their pastor lay hands and bless those animals. Why? What do you do? Bring flea flea down there to make, see if God will give you more flea flea? Can you imagine somebody bringing a goat to Billy Kelly? Billy, bless this goat. Now let me clear the air. I do not hate animals. I love them. I love dogs. I see two pretty ones here. I love cats. Brother, I'm preaching right now, okay? You don't understand. I got to please all these animal lovers. I like fishes. I even like hamsters. They look like a bunch of mad Baptists. And I love the white-tailed deer, especially when it's laying across the hood of my truck. Somebody said, oh, Brother Arthur, would you really shoot a deer? Oh, Brother Arthur, would you really shoot Bambi, his mama, his daddy, his brother, his sister? And last year, I killed his grandpa. I killed a deer so big year four last they canceled Christmas for 6 years in a row. I love animals. I do. I think they're beautiful. They have their place in society. I love creation. We live on a beautiful planet. God's blessed me and allowed me to travel and see just about every part of this nation there is to see. And not long ago, in 1 week's time, I stood at both oceans, watched the sun come up in one and go down on the other, and the Great Lakes and the Gulf. And man, I've seen the Appalachians, and I've seen Niagara Falls, and I've even ate some barbecue from North Carolina.
Amen.
I'm telling you, brother, this is a beautiful world in which we live in. The blue sky, the white clouds, the green grass, the blooming flowers, the trees, and the sounds of God's birds are singing. But I'm here to tell you, I don't worship that cat. I don't worship the dog. I don't worship the tree. I don't worship the mountain. I worship the mighty God who stepped out upon nothing and said, let there be. And it was. We worship God because we know who Jesus is. But when you live in a society ruled by men who do not know who Jesus is, they do not know who you are, neither do they care. Because in Exodus chapter 5 and verse number 7, when Moses met God at the bush of flame, and he went and stood before Pharaoh and said, sir, I've heard from heaven. I've got a message from God. Mr. Pharaoh, God, the Lord said, let my people go. Watch this. Pharaoh is so removed from his own national heritage.
Come on.
He looks at Moses and says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? For they were ignorant of the story of Joseph. They were insensitive to the family of Joseph, and they ignored the God of Joseph. But God got their attention.
Yes,
and he's about to get out. You say, how did God get their attention? He said, Moses, you go back and tell Pharaoh, I'm hot, I'm mad, and I'm coming to town, and I got judgment on my mind. He said, but tell those who do not want to perish, there is a remedy. And get you a male lamb. Kill him on the 14th day. Put his blood in a bowl. Put a hyssop brush in that bowl. And put the blood on the top and on the side of the door. The top and on the side of the door. You get that in a minute. The top and on the side of the door. The top and on the side of the door. Go out and paint the town red, son. The top and the side of the door. And when I come through the land of Egypt, I'm looking for blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that night, the clock struck midnight, and a darkness came over Egypt so thick it could be felt. And the grim reaper goes down Main Street, and he goes down the back alleys, and the sighs and the stench of death is in the air. Yeah. Screaming, weeping, and wailing, for the man has come to town to rain vengeance on them who know not God. But over yonder, on the other side of the tracks, over there in the hood, there were some little houses that had something red on it, shining in the night. And it was the blood of the Lamb. And what a difference it made. For on the other side over here, there's weeping and wailing. But on the inside over there, there's singing and shouting. On the outside, there's sighs of death. On the inside, there's shouts of victory. On the outside, they're about to starve to death. On the inside, there's a table spread. On the outside, there's a thick darkness. But on the inside, a light was shining. On the outside, they had met their end. But on the inside, they were about to take a trip. Woo! And when the sun came up in the morning, all of those that were under the blood came up gone, missing, for they had been delivered in the midnight hour because they knew who Joseph was. Lord, I'm about to drop my bucket and preach right there a while. Glory. Woo! Oh, I got one more. Oh, can I just have me a spell right there? I'm really trying to be dignified. I know this is a dignified meeting, and I'm really trying to be dignified, but I'm wanting to run so bad right now I can't stand it. But don't worry, I won't run far because fat people can't last long, but I'll be back. Woo! They got delivered because they knew who Joseph was. Boy, somebody said Pharaoh. Hey, man, I'm about to enjoy it. Somebody said Pharaoh, I'll tell you where you can get them. They're up at the Red Sea, and they got the Red Sea in front, the Meridian Desert on one side, the mountains of Paran on the other side, and if you'll come in the rear, you can annihilate them right there at the banks of the Red Sea. And God said, bring it on, big boy, bring it on, big boy. And they get up there, and God sends an angel from the glory world, and he gets between the Egyptians and the Israelites and directs traffic during the night. Hallelujah. And God leans over the balcony of heaven and goes, and the waters go, and well, if you're a Calvinist, they'll tear your nerves up, and every one of them made it out. Every one of them made it out. I see two men in the back of the line. They got a big old box on their shoulder, and I say, what's that? They said, it's Joseph's bones. Said, God, so intent on sweeping the remembrance of his people out of this place, he's even bringing the dead people out. Mm-hmm. Woo! I believe they were glad. Can you tell I'm enjoying this? By the way, don't let nobody tell you you can't have fun serving God. Do I look like I'm having fun? Well, I'm doing more than acting like it. I'm doing all I can to run and shout. You know what? I think I will, praise God, because I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Yes. Pharaoh and his army. Oh, we can do that. We can do that. If they're a bunch of Jews and a bunch of Semites, if they can do it, I can too. And the angel said, come on in. The water's fine. And God waited till they got in the middle, and he pulled the plug. And you know what happened? They met their fate. I see a young man in the back, highly decorated uniform, highly elaborate chariot, strapping, big, shot-looking fellow. And I say, who's that? Somebody said, why, Brother Joe, that's Pharaoh. You got to be kidding. Hey, sir, Pharaoh, how does a man of your wisdom and might and power, how does a man like you die such a horrible death like this? Yeah. And as that last crushing wave snuffs out his life.
Right.
His last gurgling words will be, I don't know Joseph. I don't know Joseph. I don't know Joseph. And while them who did not know Joseph was going to a watery grave, Lord God, young ones on the other side of the sunny banks of the sweet deliverance, out on the solid rock, they had their tambourines out. They were having a hallelujah shouting time because the Lord had delivered his people. They were glad. They knew who Joseph was. And one day, God, I have it up to here, and you'll say, you've ignored my son. You've lampooned my church. You've denied my name long enough, and he's coming in judgment. But I'm glad, hallelujah, we that know Jesus are saved by the blood and cried out by the blood. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. God forbid that we ever live in a society or a nation that goes from knowing all about Jesus to some about Jesus to a little about Jesus to nothing about Jesus. You describe that little bus kid in your sermon, a pastor, a bunch of those wild brats. Man, we had a packed house yesterday. Everybody in their Sunday best. I mean, we were fancy. My son, who's our children's pastor, said, Dad, I want to let the children's church come out and do a special. I said, okay, I'd have known better than that on Easter Sunday. They'd ate all them chocolate Easter bunnies and they were ready. On this side. On this side, two of them. while they're saying the Lord is risen indeed. It reminded me of two deacons in an independent Baptist church while the preacher's preaching his heart out, let God bring it on. And I'm going to tell you why we have a church like that. And I'm going to tell you why we have a ministry like that. At the church the other Sunday, one of our Wednesday night workers, Brother John, he's a chemistry teacher in one of our local high schools. He ran up to me and said, Pastor, you ain't going to believe what happened Wednesday night. Man, this guy was tore to pieces. I said, John, what's wrong? He said, man, you ain't going to believe what happened Wednesday night. He said, I was teaching the four-year-olds. I said, the fourth grade. He said, I was teaching the fourth graders. And he said, the lesson that night, preacher, was on Noah and the ark. And said, preacher, a little old girl in the fourth grade raised her hand and said, Mr. John, who's Noah?
That's right.
And what is an ark? Dr. Wells, with tears streaming down John's face, had looked at me. He said, Pastor, if that little girl doesn't know who Noah and what an ark is, she probably doesn't know who Jesus is.
Right.
And what a cross is. And let me just say, on my way to my seat, I'm glad Mama knew. I'm glad Daddy knew.
Amen.
I'm glad my wife's mom and daddy knew.
Amen.
I'm glad God let me marry a precious lady who knew.
Amen.
We've tried to raise two knotheads that they'll know. And I've spent the last 35 years of my life stomping, spitting, squalling, and yelling. Trying to tell people, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and picks him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real. Then you've known nothing till you've known the love of God. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And if there's a generation, Pastor, that knows all, and there's a generation that knows none, somebody in the middle didn't do their part. May God help us tonight to pray, give, stand, preach, witness, whatever we got to do. To make sure on our generation,
yes, sir,
there's never a nation who knows not who Jesus is. Turn to that person beside of you and say, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And turn back around and say, and if you don't know, I can tell you. Turn back around and say, because praise God, I met him one day. Let's stand together. Father, we love you tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad we know who Jesus is. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Lord, tonight our nation's in trouble. We need your help tonight. We're on the threshold, God, of raising an entire generation that's never even heard your name. So please help us tonight to give ourselves to you afresh and anew. Because, Lord, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Sanctify the Word of God in our heart. Give this pastor and give this church a great meeting this week. Lord, there be preachers and missionaries, pastors, evangelists that have come to this meeting discouraged. They don't feel too good. Things not been going well. God, may they have such a revival in their heart, they'll go back and tell the whole world who Jesus is. Thank you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.